Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we're going to be studying Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 through 51, and we'll be focusing on the need to be ready for the Lord's return. This week will be our last studies in Matthew 24, this wonderful chapter which focuses on the events of the last days. My desire, as we come to the end of this in-depth study on the last days, that we'd now be challenged to a greater fervency in our commitments and our walks with the Lord, and that we truly would be living in light of the Lord's return. Our study today will focus on verses 42 through 44, which read this way: "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." Our study today will be broken up into two points. First of all, just a general survey of verses 42 through 44. And then second of all, the blessings of being ready for the Lord's return. So going back to verse 42, it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." The word "watch" there is a command in the present tense, and it literally means be constantly on the alert. Really, this is a key idea of Jesus as he comes to the end of his teaching on the last days, that we need to be constantly on the alert. And the reason is that we do not know the day or the hour in which the Lord is going to return. And when people start making predictions, and we're living in a day and age where people are making these great predictions about the Lord's return, it can begin to deaden our heart towards this aspect of being constantly on the alert. We know that they're wrong because the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour, but it just begins to lull people into a spiritual sleep where they're not living in light of the Lord's return. Now, the bottom line is, I don't know when the Lord's going to return. No one does, only the Lord himself. But it is true, and really it doesn't matter if the Lord comes in our generation or not. If he comes in another 1,000 years, I only have a certain number of years on this planet, and that will be the end of my life. And so right now, I need to be bearing fruit for God's kingdom. God's given me a gift and a calling to teach. I need to teach now because he doesn't need me in heaven to teach. He himself would be there. Why would he use me in heaven when we could listen directly to the Lord himself? So I only have one life that could count for him. And so I want to live each and every day as if this truly would be my last, trying to focus on fulfilling God's will, his purpose and plan for my life. Because when we die, that's it. These gifts that he's now given to us, they will pass away. They are only in part. Then we'll be brought into his eternal kingdom. So it really doesn't matter that we don't know when the Lord's going to come back. We do know we only have a certain number of days. And if he comes back in our generation, then our lives would end even sooner. But either way, you only have one life to live, and the Lord wants you to live in a way in light of his return. And the reason for this is found in verses 43 and 44, because he says he's going to come back like a thief. And these verses read this: "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." Isn't that very simple to understand? A thief comes when you're not expecting it to take place. This means it's sudden and unexpectedly. A thief doesn't call you up and say, "Oh, by the way, at 3 o'clock Tuesday morning, I'm going to come to rob your house." If you knew that, you'd be ready there with the police, and you wouldn't have your goods stolen. But since we don't know when the Lord's going to come back, we need to be ready as if we knew the time in which a thief would break into our house. We need to live our life as if we knew the thief would come to rob us. Then in verse 44, he says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." And ultimately, I do believe that verse 44 relates to the second coming of Jesus Christ, as he's been dealing with that subject in the entirety of Matthew 24. But either way, our life may come to an end, and we don't know when that'll take place, as well as the rapture of the church could take place at any point, so we need to be ready right now. And the simple question is, are you ready for the Lord's return? What if the Lord was to come back tonight, or what if your life was to end today? Are you assured that you'd live in God's eternal kingdom, that you'd be welcomed into heaven because you've put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue you and to save you? Or as a believer, are you living as if these are the last days of your life and you're living with a fervency, a loyalty to the Lord, pursuing after holiness, pursuing after the will of God, and finding yourself used to be furthering his kingdom? Are your prayers like what the Lord has asked you to pray, praying for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done? Is that what your heart is? Or are you living life as if you have all the time in the world and you'll get around to serving God's kingdom? The Lord wants you to put him first. As the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what the end times teaching is to bring us to, is a fervency of spirit and putting God and his purposes first within our life. because we do not know when our life will end or when the Lord will come back. At this point, I want to go to our second point and look at the blessings of being ready. And I want to look at four specific verses which tell us the blessings of those who are ready for the Lord's coming. And a very important passage is found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, where John writes, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." And as we have this hope of being with the Lord in his eternal kingdom and experiencing a resurrection and a transformation into a glorified body, and verse 3 tells us the person that has that type of hope brings a purifying impact upon that individual's life in this life now, because that's what they're looking forward to. They're able to say no to the desires that rise up in our hearts now, because we know that there is going to be an eternal reward for us in God's kingdom. We could put off pursuing after the things that we want in this life and receive the rewards directly from the Lord. One man put it this way: if you live your life as you shoot for the earth, you'll even miss that. But if you live your life as you shoot for heaven, you'll get heaven, and earth will be thrown in with it as well. So as you put your heart to serve the Lord first, the Lord says that he has made you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And as we have that hope, that assurance, it brings a purifying impact upon our life now. Second of all, in Mark chapter 13 and verse 23, when Jesus was talking about the great tribulation, he says in this verse, "But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand." And what he's saying here in the context, I've told you these things beforehand so that you're not going to be caught off guard. And the context there is that he's saying the world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. Sin is going to abound. Many will backslide. Many false prophets and false Christs will rise up. But he's saying, you watch out. You take heed. I've told you these things before to warn you. So as we study the end times, it's as a warning to show us that things are going to get worse. Sin will abound. There will be apostasy. There will be false teachings and false Christs. And as we know that, we will not be caught off guard. The third passage of Scripture is from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. And this is where Peter says, as he comes to the end of his second epistle, he says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know all these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." And here, as Peter is talking about the end times, he's saying, since we know all these things, we will not fall from our own steadfastness. We're not those who are going to be led astray like the wicked are. Now, what I want you to see from this verse is Peter mentions falling from your steadfastness. I hope that your desire is not just to hang in there and just to get by with the minimum commitment to Jesus Christ, but that you have a steadfastness, an endurance, a commitment to the Lord with a full heart, with a passion, with a conviction, with the desire not to compromise. And so here, Peter wants these believers to remain steadfast. And we're told what's going to happen in the last day so we're not knocked off from that fervency of spirit. That's what the Lord deserves. He deserves that sort of devotion each and every day from our lives. And based on the fact we don't know when the Lord's going to come back, we need to have that steadfastness each and every day. And I'm sure for some of you that are listening, you had a steadfastness at one point, but you've lost it. You've lost a fervency. And this wouldn't be the only reason, but this would be one of the reasons that you lost the aspect of the second coming. You've lost that hope. You lost the fervency of my life needs to count now because the Lord may come back or my life may end. And these are the final days that I have in my service to Jesus Christ. When we lose that, it strips away a motivation to serve the Lord right now to be about our Father's business. Then the last passage of Scripture is from Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. And the context here is actually something that has already been fulfilled during a time of persecution upon the Jews from a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. But this portion of Scripture serves as a type or a prefiguring of what's going to happen in the last days as well. And it says two things are going to happen to people during that tribulation period. In verse 32, it says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." And here this is a type of the Antichrist that is going to corrupt people with flattering speech. And this is exactly what will happen in the last days. The Antichrist will deceive and lead many away. But there's also another group mentioned in verse 32, which says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." The amazing thing is that in a time of apostasy, in a time of tribulation, in a time of persecution, those who know the Lord, it's a great opportunity for God to work powerfully through their lives. As they put their trust and confidence in Him, they're able to do great exploits in the name of the Lord. So during the last days, although it will be a time when many would fall away, there's also those who are going to know the Lord, know the Word of God, and they will have opportunity to do great exploits. I believe that day is here as well, that we have opportunity to do great things in relationship to the kingdom of God. There may be great opposition to God's kingdom and God's work, but those who know the Lord will be strengthened by God and will be used in these last days to bring about the work of God. I want to be such a person that knows the Lord and God does great exploits through. And I believe that I need to be living in a way that the Lord could come back at any moment, not being caught off guard, not even allowing one day to be wasted, but living each and every day for God's purposes and for His kingdom. My prayer is that as we come to the end of Matthew 24, that's where your heart would be as well.